Oh, it has been pretty much preoccupied with the grandchild and my daughter.
Although, Tisha, I'm betting it's not quite as distracting as having a baby yourself.
I think that's true. In fact, that's part of the reason that being a grandparent has some advantages. Yeah, because I remember, well, even now my daughter and her husband, they're exhausted. You know, they haven't been sleeping much and so forth. So when we go over and take care of the baby for a while, they sleep. So, well, Tisha, I got your revision and haven't had a chance to look at it in detail, but it looks like a giant step forward.
I'm hoping so. We need to get this out.
Yeah.
And, yeah, thanks, Tisha. I'm a cert, too. Thank you. I see you made a reference to an article that came out in JSE, a variability section. So I'll have a look at that one because I haven't seen that one yet. A 2008 article by Cooper and Shore.
Yeah. I had looked at that as part of the distributional thinking literature. And I don't know if we want to include it. I was just brainstorming last night and thinking if we want to include, just I think to make things sound like one voice, Dale, the section on sampling, had a lot about misconceptions, and I think that it sounded really good, and I feel mm-hmm. that if we're going to talk about that in one of the concept areas, that we should try to do it in others as well, but maybe I'm way off base. I don't know.
Well, no, I think you're, my feeling when I saw that was that you're right on base, especially because what we're trying to do is come up with these assessment items to identify both what they do and don't understand. If there's been misconceptions identified in the literature, then maybe we should try and see if our students have those with some assessment items. So I actually think it's a good idea.
And I kind of felt, thinking back to the conversations we had trying to come up with the master table, that's, in a sense, what we did was sit through and think about, well, what do our students do that makes us believe they're not getting sampling distributions or variability, whatever it might be. And I feel like some of the items in our master table came about because we were considering misconceptions.
Mm-hmm. And I actually need, as I was reading what we have today, I remember writing that, the review on the variability. Now it's been like, you know, a couple years back.
I know.
And I remember, oh my gosh, yeah, it seemed like today, 3 years. It's pathetic. I got to get this out. But I remember paring it way, 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 way down. And so, but I still have the articles and the notes that I wrote on those articles. So I'll go back and have a look at those and see if I can fill it out a little bit now with some misconceptions. I think there were some in there. I just got rid of them when I originally wrote that. But I'll go back and find them.
I need to do the same for the distributional thinking section. I just ran out of time.
There was something that I wanted to ask. I have not yet. Michael, you suggested it in an email to me. And Tisha, you mentioned it here. I haven't gone back and compared exactly what was in Table 2 from the Garfield and Chance and Zelma article to our table of sampling distribution, what they need to know. Tisha, did you have any chance to go through that in any detail?
I didn't side-by-side checklist or anything like that. I'm almost certain, I'm in my office and I left their paper at home. I could find it on my computer, but I'm almost certain that ours is a shorter list than theirs.
Yeah, it is a short list. I reread their article recently. I just hadn't compared it. Let me see if I can find it here.
But I don't think that we have anything that's not on their list. We've just worded things a little bit differently.
Table where they kind of broke it down into, like, what students should know and what they should be able to do and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, here, I've got the article here.
I thought when I had looked over it and I compared it to what we had, and it seemed fairly similar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard because you change a little bit of wording here and there, and maybe it combines a few things into one or something like that, but...
Yeah, I think it was, I've got the article here, so I'm looking for it again. Anyway, okay, I'll go back and check. And just because I want to make sure, as you both, as you mentioned to do on the presentation, is make sure I give credit to them for what they did there, and point out any particular differences that we have. So basically, where I'm just trying to think in terms of the presentation to give at ICOT. Originally, what we'd hoped to give at this was, okay, we've built up this assessment tool, and here are our results. We haven't quite got that far, so kind of our contribution at this point is that they suggested that there were these prerequisites. So we've done a lit review of the prerequisites. We're breaking them down into smaller sub-concepts. And are we going to try, I mean, if people ask me, and are we going to try to get assessment items for each of these sub-concepts so that we can really tease them apart?
You mean each little row in our table, right, when you say concept?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that was kind of the point of that large table that you had created, Michelle, was to go through each of those sub-concepts and make sure that testing them.
Okay, me too. But I just, before, you know, if I should say that, I want to be sure that that is, in fact, what our plan is. So, okay.
Well, just one caution, to have a really strong, psychometrically valid kind of measure of each of the concepts might be beyond the scope of what we can do. But I think we can make a very useful contribution by having several items, at least, that measure each of these things, or at least would be relevant to each of these things. But to try to have a full scale for each of these, that could be more than we want to bite off.
Right. Now, can we just say that we're using questions relating to the sub-concepts that are psychometrically valid at assessing the comprehension of the concept?
That would be a good maybe approach, is that we'll have items on each of these. But I don't think we'd want to present that as, a full scale for each one of them.
Yeah, because
overall scale should
I agree.
Be cool. Yeah. And probably the most useful thing would be just for people who are teaching to have some items that assess the understanding at a level that is really useful.
Yeah.
Some of these items are, they're not that easy for people just to come up with. A lot of people probably haven't seen these. So I think that's going to be a contribution by itself.
Dale, right. Is it something to remember where the original candy study, I mean, I know there's been lots of them, but do you happen to have a particular source for that question?
You know, we adapted it quite a bit. I don't have it in my head. It may have been the Shaughnessy article.
I think it was Shaughnessy.
Yeah. We could take a look at that. But we did make some changes to it, but we should cite that as adapted from or something.
Okay.
But we should verify that, what that is exactly. And see if I can find that.
Wasn't it called the lolly problem or something like that?
That I think that's it, yeah.
Okay, I'll go back and check that. In terms of the structure of the slides, that's okay with you guys?
Yeah, I think
they look great.
Nice job with that.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Okay.
I mean, that preliminary results slide, there's two graphs superimposed. I assume that's not going to stay that way.
No. Actually, what it is one comes on, and then I click, and then I get the other one. So first I'm going to do the box plot one,
then
click again, and do the second one. So, okay, another way. Then we then look at it from this point. But I could just make it on a whole different slide. And I'll just put it on a different slide. It'll be neater that way. What about on the... Pardon me?
Yeah, I mean, when I had tried it using it as a slideshow, one, disappeared from behind, but I couldn't see them both. So I don't know if that's just my program or what, but
okay.
Anyway.
I'll just put it on another slide. That way it'll be easier to see. But to go to the slide on preliminary results, I guess it's slide number 16, after the two graphs, what do you think about what I wrote there? Is there anything I'm missing? Is there anything that I should add? Is there anything that you don't feel is very accurate? I've written that what the positives were and what some of the drawbacks were for these preliminary results. You know, I'd like to answer my own question here, which is, on the drawbacks, we said we had a self-selected group, so we've got bias, we can't draw any inferences that. And then I asked myself, you know, who is our population of interest in the long run? Is it all undergraduate introspect students from any, is it only first semester? Could it be first and second semester? You know, could it be general, like math stats, business stats, you know, psychology stats? Just have an idea of what our eventual population that we'd like to address with this is.
I mean, I guess that's a good question about who the audience are who are filling this out. Is it, I know there's a big distinction these days made between the algebra-based intro-stat class for non-majors versus the calculus-based stat class for quantitatively-minded people, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have both in the data that we looked at? And do we know the distribution?
Yeah, I don't think we have a lot of information on the on that detail, anyway. I would think it's a general introductory statistics, and in some ways it doesn't really matter that much if we're after the conceptual understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Even high school would be appropriate for AP folks, probably.
I know that the students from Winona State who are part of that data set would have just been traditional introductory, the algebra-based course. It would have been their first semester.
That's probably the most people.
But if we're going to continue piloting anything online, maybe this is something that we should be collecting.
Right. Yeah, and again, I definitely think we need a good conversation after this paper about how we want to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I think I'm okay for the presentation.
Yeah. I mean, I would say to your question, Michelle, the last positive that you mentioned, the made clear the overlap between sampling variability and distributional thinking, to me that's kind of a key, that's the key of the paper that we're writing right now, is kind of synthesizing them all. So I like adding that there. I like that it's there, because that kind of prepares people for, you know, receiving our paper.
Okay. Would you move it up in the list of things? In terms of positives, you know, was there a particular order you went to that? Or you?
I think in terms of the chronology of it, it definitely comes first.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the impact, I would say chronologically it should come first, but I mean, I don't think that in terms of the impact, in terms of how we're understanding the concepts that students are learning, I'm not sure that that's the first most important positive to come out of it. So it depends on whether you want to make the first positive your main, or that they kind of build to each other, and the last one being, you know, the main take home.
Well, I kind of think the last, in a sense that it follows logically from the previous one, which is questioning more deeply the subconcepts and think about whether or not we can isolate them, because there is so much overlap. You know, every time you try to ask a distributional question, you really also, you know, there's something in there about variability. So I kind of like it at the end, I suppose.
Right, although saying that the results give credibility to the idea that the relationship exists between the prerequisites, if you haven't defined the prerequisites yet, it seems like that's incomplete. So, again, I can see it either way.
Yeah.
I don't really have a reference.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. I see your point there. How about any other drawbacks? Well, it is nice to have the positives outweigh the drawbacks. Can you guys think of any other particular drawbacks?
I guess if you talk about reliability, should we mention the fact that our validity is not in any way established?
Yes.
You know, maybe we can combine that into, you know, no formal psychometric testing or something. No formal psychometric testing for either reliability or validity.
Okay. And I think the two, I think I'm third in the panel, which is somewhat unfortunate because we're at the most beginning stage. It would be nice to precede Beth and Andy rather than to follow Beth and Andy. I'm sure that I think they're going to talk quite a bit. I think Andy, he just talked about different psychometric testing for some of the things he's done. So yeah, it's a good idea to add in there that we haven't done that yet.
Right.
Okay. So Tisha,
mm-hmm.
In order to go further, what do you need from us? I know we need to add misconceptions in the variability part, in the distributional thinking part.
I think one thing that would really... Oh, I'm hearing an echo of myself. Are you guys hearing me okay?
Yeah, we hear the echo.
Okay, I don't know. I'm not on speaker, but it's... Okay. I think it would help me if people could read through it and think in the back of their minds, what is the story we're trying to tell? What's the point that we want to get across? And decide if those are completely absent from the lit review as is, or if they're there but just not highlighted as much as we want them to be. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not being very clear. Like I heard you say a little bit ago, Michael, one of our big things is, hey, we've discovered that there is a lot of overlap between these three prerequisite concepts, and I don't think that story is being told in the lit review right now as much as it could be. So if people can think of things like that that can be added to just the general discussion, and the things that are going to make this body of work seem more like a new contribution, that would help too. Because all I've been doing right now is just getting in this mode of thinking where it's, all right, look at papers and get the stuff from that papers into our lit review. And I have not, as much as I need to, stepped back and just looked at the overall scope of the project. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. I think it does. I mean, do we actually have a sense of how many of the other papers actually try and address all of these, if any? I mean, maybe that's the data that would help, you know, just make that statement. That would help make it important.
Can you say that again, Michael?
So, I mean, we've been saying one of the benefits, and I think, again, what we need to emphasize in the paper is the idea that we're synthesizing some of the other literature, and that no other literature really looks at all of them simultaneously and combines them into one coherent set of topics that recognizes the overlaps.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we can back that up with data from the literature and say that no other papers have actually addressed all of them at the same time, you know, or Chancellor Moss and Garfield have started to do so, but we do it at a different level and none of the others have done it, I don't know, you know,
yeah.
However we frame it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think that is, in particular for this particular paper, I think that is the contribution. We don't yet have assessment items in here, so the contribution is trying to link these with their overlap and their link with sampling distribution. So perhaps we need to argue a little bit about why we think they're all so important to sampling distribution. We don't actually do that. We don't really make a case for why do we think this matters so much to understand sampling distribution.
Are we convinced that all of these are prerequisites in the sense that if one doesn't have a particular piece of this, you can't understand sampling distributions?
I think that's our claim.
Oh.
And to me, that's why we're calling this not an understanding of prerequisite knowledge, but towards an understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We're caveating it so because that's what we're trying to determine.
The other thing is, I know that we've had many discussions in the past that, you know, at one point we started by trying to just outline what subconcepts we believed were essential to understanding the sampling distributions themselves. And then along the line we said, well, wait, let's just step back and outline what it means in general to understand each of those prerequisite concepts. And then we're going to go back and we're going to look and see, okay, is it possible for students to completely be off the mark with one of those subconcepts, yet still get sampling distributions. So I'm wondering, I think as is, the table that we have is just in general, what does it take to understand variability or distributional thinking? And maybe we could go through a little bit more and say what we suspect is going to be related to the sampling distributions. I don't know if that's a good thing to do or not.
Well, actually, I feel like we already did that a bit. I mean, for the variability, there's a lot more to variability than what we've got on our table there. We tried to sort of like bring it down to the parts that were related to sampling distributions. Remember, there was the big article by Benzevi and Garfield where they talk about these 7 overlapping areas to get a full, deep understanding of the concept of variability. And basically, we say in the lit review here, but well, the only thing that some of those are actually pertinent to, as prerequisites for sampling distribution. So at least for that one, I feel like I've already narrowed it down a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think. Let me go back and look at the list we came up with. By the way, Tisha,
mm-hmm.
One thing, a comment Michael made to me for the slides that I think is also valid here, is that in the table, like table 1, table 2, table 3,
oh,
I don't think we have to name
okay.
them as SD, VAR, et cetera.
Okay.
We just name them as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 for each table.
I'll do that.
Yeah, and the variability ones, we've really narrowed it down to just caring largely about the standard deviation and that variability measures dispersion. But we don't talk here much about, you know, variability in sampling because that's under the sampling part. I think it's pretty pared down already. What about the other one?
When I look at the distributional thinking table, our 5th subconcept says outliers unduly influence means and standard deviations and may lead to incorrect interpretations of the data set. Very true, and I think students should understand that. If asked to directly connect that to how I think that will impact their understanding of sampling distributions, I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. So, do we want to make a case in this paper about that? Do we want to pare these down to make a case for why we think they're linked to sampling distributions, or do we want to keep it general for all of them, just so that we do the same thing with all of the prereqs?
Well, this really does depend on how we see what we want the impact of this to be. You know, just this example of the importance of outliers, critically important concept. But yeah, I agree. I don't know that one would need to have that to understand sampling distributions. But gee, I would sure be reluctant to not pay attention to that. It really seems like it would narrow the scope more than we'd want. I mean, we could start broader, and then as we get into having some real data, maybe we could identify those empirically, the things that seem to be most closely related, but keep it broader for now.
Okay.
There's certainly going to be correlations between people who understand the role of outliers and people who understand sampling distributions. So I mean, when we start doing that kind of analysis, these things will all come together, I think.
And I think when I think about the idea of outliers as being pertinent to when you get to statistical inference and you're talking about p-values and you're talking about, you know, is this an unusual value for the sample statistic? It seems like a base of understanding something about outliers or unusual values is pretty important. You know, how many standard errors is this value away from the claimed value or something like that? Yeah. I agree. I think we should leave it in.
Yeah, it would be an example of where one could misunderstand the sampling distribution. I mean, one misunderstanding is that all sampling distributions are normal under all conditions, or n is bigger than 30, it's normal distribution. And here, if one really understands how outliers work, you'd be able to spot a case where that might not be true. So, yeah, I think one can make an argument for the relevance of it anyway.
I think I know in some spots, can't find it right now, but we had language originally in a previous draft about maybe more specifically how each of those things did relate to understanding sampling distributions themselves.
Mm.
Do we want to leave things like that in? The lit review section doesn't go into that at all. It's a little more broad, and the lit review is just, okay, what does it take on its own for students to understand sampling, variability, and distributional thinking? And I think that right now, because I was kind of tired, I had it thrown in the section with our tables. Like on page 8, under the variability table, it says this table describes what is meant by understanding distributional thinking. And then it goes into a little bit more detail about specifically what we think it's going to take to develop an understanding of sampling distribution. Do we want to leave language like that in there? Or, Dale, when you say you want to leave it more broad, does that mean that we don't want statements such as that?
Well, I was thinking one can, in fact, find the relationships between these things. That may not be prerequisite per se.
I think it gives it a context, which is nice.
Yeah.
Okay. I like it because it reminds the reader of why you're doing this. Otherwise, it sort of comes up with like, okay, here's what people say about distribution. Here's what people say about variability. Here's what people say about this, and then it kind of links them together.
Right.
So I like keeping that kind of thing in.
Do you think it's also worth having an additional paragraph or something that talks a lot more about the overlaps that we found? Because it's implied right now. I mean, when you read certain sections, you hear things about variability or sampling throughout. But is it worth just explicitly towards the end mentioning the overlap that we've noted with all of these concepts?
I think so. I think that was kind of, I think that's kind of Michael's point when he's saying that, you know, that's part of the contribution, synthesizing these and looking at their overlap and how to come together. So, yeah, I think
that's
definitely
great, but I think it's something that's not coming out as strongly as it needs to right now, so that's another bullet I'm going to write myself.
Yeah, I agree. I think it would be good to be explicit about that. It also controls expectations about what one might be able to do with these, and that they do overlap, and I think trying to get pure, uncorrelated measures is not necessary. I mean, that's not a direction we want to go. We wouldn't be measuring the concepts that we're interested in if we try to get things that are uncorrelated.
Tisha, for the, this is a slight change of topic, but for the presentation that you're going to do at JSM, what are you going to do for that? Which direction?
Well,
is it pretty similar to the ICOS one, or?
I think it'll borrow heavily from that. I need to find the abstract that we sent in. I can't remember, honestly.
Okay, but it just struck me that this is probably our next talk, our conversation before that, too.
Oh, that's true. It's not that far away anymore.
Yeah. I would say that this I would present what makes the most sense for us to do at this stage, and I wouldn't rely too much on the abstract that we wrote. You know, even though it'll be a little bit of a mismatch for people who are there, I think the topic is similar enough that if you decide you want to present more on this than that because we have a better flavor of it, you know, whatever. My opinion is that's a fine thing to do.
I think that we
had
very similar abstracts between ICOTS and JSM, so I think we'll be okay. But
I'll also say I don't think they change it, but I'm actually chairing that session at JSM.
Okay.
And a second person just withdrew their talk.
Two people.
So I think they have to like leave everything at the appropriate time, but it means we might actually have a little more time to, you know, talk about stuff or respond to questions or something like that. So we should be prepared for the questions, I guess, because there might be more than normally would have happened in the short 15-minute talk.
Okay. So, Michael, you're going to MathFest and JSM?
I'm not going to MathFest.
Are you not?
No.
I just got my MA focus. I thought you were organizing one of those sessions. Did you organize it? Before?
Yeah, basically the past chair, the chair, and the chair-elect organize everything together, and we just put all three of our names on it. I helped organize it, but I'm not going to be there.
Okay. So realistically, to try and get, because I know you guys also have your, it might even be too late at this point, but I know Michael, you and Tisha, I think both have your tenure stuff coming up. I mean, it would be really good to get this article out, right?
Yep.
Yes.
So should we, you know, just try to finish it by the end of the summer so that we can get it out by then? Because I think, Tisha, I like the way you reorganized it. It's shorter. I think it's starting to take form. I read it today, but I'll read through and put comments, and I'll go back to my variability notes and go back and look at some of the misconceptions and get them off to you.
I think that with a couple, you know, very minor updates, you know, that we've talked about now, I think we're ready to send it off, you know, kind of for family reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, send it off to Bob and Andy at least and say, like, hey, here's where we are. You know, we're almost ready to submit to JSE. You know, what are the major and minor comments you have of what else we need to do to get it ready to go?
Yeah.
I would like to meet
them. I'm going to see them at ICOTS, and I'm sure you guys are going to see them at JSM. So it'd be kind of nice if we could send it to them before that, so that when we see them in person, maybe we can discuss a little bit.
Right. I think that's a good idea.
When do you leave, Michelle? Like next week?
I leave on Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah. So I leave this Sunday, and then the conference is a whole week. So I'll be there for the whole week, and then my family comes and joins me, and we go to Croatia for a week.
Wow. Nice.
Exciting.
That should be really fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Don't mean to change the subject, but I just found our abstract. I have too many things in my email, but it's right in line with the ICOTS talk. We said that we would, one, review literature on sampling distributions, two, discuss development of an assessment tool, three, present results from a pilot study. So.
Yeah, we're doing more of
Okay.
Sounds like we're doing more of the first, but we can mention all three, so I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. So I'll probably just change your slides around a little bit, Michelle, if you don't mind.
That is perfect. So I'll just, when I get the final version, I'll send them off.
And then if I make any changes, I'll send Matt to everyone as well.
Okay.
That's great.
Sounds good.
So, Tisha, do you want to give us a date by which you'd like us to send you some updates? We need to beef up
the variability. If you wanted to be able to talk to Bob and Andy next week, I don't know if that's going to be feasible to have. We show them kind of what we have now, outline things like that. But to get these other changes made, no, I could probably. I mean, let me think. I can work on this next week. I have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday free. That doesn't give people much time. But if you could get me things by maybe Monday, then I could have a draft to send out, and Michelle, you could get it via email while you're there and talk to them if you would like to. I know that doesn't give them time to read it in advance, though, does it?
But you know what? I'll just bring a hard copy and just say, if you have a moment and you get a chance to have a look over this and give me any feedback, I'd appreciate it. If not, you know, understand. But this is where we're going, and we're still working on it. But I can even do that. Because I find that sometimes it's nice to have a hard copy to just sit when you're sitting having your coffee and glance through it.
Will any of you have time the rest of this week to look through it and offer me other suggestions or additions, things like that?
I'll plan to get through it probably later today if I can. Yeah.
Okay.
With apologies, I do not actually. I'm working on two other presentations for JSM also that I've got to do some work on also. So
you're a little busy, huh?
Yeah.
That's fine. If I can get some stuff, then I will work on it. Actually, today's only Wednesday. I have Friday available as well. So I'll continue to make changes, and then if people can get me things as soon as you think of them, that's fine. And hopefully I'll have something a little bit more complete to send out mid-next week.
Yeah, and I think it's great. You know, even if it's not a final version, I think, you know, especially with, like, Bob and Andy, like, we're friendly with them, like, just kind of get a sense from them of their impressions. You know, and then maybe we can even choose to send it to someone else once it's more in final version, or we can just send it right to JSC and say, like, here it is, review it, expecting to get a revise and resubmit anyway.
Great. That sounds good to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go through it tonight and send you back some comments to share.
That'd be great. Go through and slaughter wording if you want to, too. You're a very good writer. I'm not.
Okay. Sounds good.
That's great.
So do we what is today? 7? If we don't have another conference call before JSM, I know some of us will see each other there. We'll miss you, Michelle. But do we want to set something up for the next conference call? Or just play it by ear for now?
I'm pretty much going to be gone between Croatia, and then I'm going to the States after that. I'll be back about mid-August.
Okay.
So maybe we can talk, like, towards the end of August if you guys are around around the 20th, 22nd, something like that. Kind of touch base and see how everything went at the various presentations.
Mm-hmm. I think that we're at the point where we can just have conversations via email about this draft manuscript as well.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I don't know if Michelle and Dale, whether you guys want to... I had casually mentioned with Bob about meeting up casually for dinner one night at JSM. I don't know if you guys want to meet at JSM and, you know, chat about it there.
I'm not going to be at JSM this year.
Oh, you're not either. Okay. All right, so Tisha, you know, I'll just do it casually.
That sounds good.
Yeah. No, I think that sounds like a fine idea, though, to get some feedback from Bob and Andy.
Right.
And, I don't know if we want to...
Michael, let me just ask you one more thing since we were talking about this. When is your final date for your tenure stuff? Because I know you were working on it a lot last year. Did you get everything in and now they're reviewing it? Or where are you now in that process?
So I have one that I'm working on, a revise and resubmit that I got for Surge. I have two papers that are under review right now and a few others that are in the process of being written and worked on. Plus I have this grant that I'm working on that I'm spending a bunch of time on this summer.
Oh, great.
So, I don't know if that answers the question, but that's what I'm working on.
When do they make the decision on tenure?
So November 5th is when the application is due, but it's fine to submit addendums through like February, I think, February or March,
mm-hmm.
of saying like, you know, the paper that I said was submitted have now been accepted or something like that.
Right.
So, I mean, ideally, if we can get it, you know, out and reviewed by November, that's great, but realistically,
okay.
You know, if we can get it out end of the summer, early fall, and actually get it accepted by February, for me, that's kind of what I would need. I don't know what your time frame is, Tisha.
Our applications are due mid-January. I don't know exactly what the date is. And then our decisions aren't made until the following summer, so I'll have a lot of time for addendums, things like that as well.
Okay. All right, sounds good. Well, let's push this through then so that you guys can both get some credit for this.
Right.
There's only so many years in a row that you can say on your faculty development plan that you worked on
it. Right.
Impressive.
One of my colleagues was saying, when you're working on the paper, you're working on the paper, and once you submit it, the paper's working for you. So that's the goal.
Nice way to think about it.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Let's do it.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Well, then have fun
job,
in ASM, everybody.
Have fun.
Awesome.
I'm
going to email.
Have fun in
Vienna. Have a great time in Croatia.
Thanks.
I'll be
and
home.
And enjoy
to
your granddaughter.
Enjoy grandparenthood and parenthood and everything that people are doing these days. So.
Oh, yes.
All right, guys.
Take care. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Please stand by.